The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right. What's up, party people? Welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
I'm Lynn Ozawi.
Lynn, I cannot believe we are officially at the end of season 11. Should we do a slow clap for ourselves? Ah, I actually think this has been one of the best seasons we've ever had, if I don't say so myself.
The thing is, we keep saying that every season, which I think is a good sign. And Dope Village, we are finishing strong.
Oh, hell yes, we are, because our guest is Jewel Lloyd, and she has a list of accomplishments that are about as long as Lynn's arm. She is a two-time WNBA champion with the Seattle Storm, and last season, she broke the single season scoring record, beating out two okay players in Breanna Stewart and Asia Wilson. Oh my goodness. Jewel was the number one draft pick and rookie of the year in the WNBA in 2015, coming out of Notre Dame. We are giving so much love to the Irish recently. I'm not quite sure why, but I love it. Jewel won an Olympic gold medal at the 2020 Olympics, and we talk with her about the significance of being part of that incredible USA basketball legacy. We even discuss dinking responsibly, because Jewel is a legit pickleball player. We have so much fun with that. We also talk about how she's intentionally gone out of her comfort zone in recent years and how that has helped shape more of who she is. And we guarantee you're gonna love who she is. So get comfortable listening. It's Jewel Lloyd. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women, because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking and laughing combined. Feeling all right, get comfortable listening. It's Laughter Permitted.
Thank you, Jewel, for doing this.
Thank you. This is awesome. I was super stoked when they mentioned it, so it's an honor.
Oh, you're the best. Literally, to pull the curtain back, I get on early, always with Lynn, and I get on this morning. I'm 10 minutes early, and there is Jewel already setting up her audio. I'm like, oh my God, hashtag favorite guest.
Appreciate it. You know, I learned timeliness is super important. So if you're on time, you're late. That's something that I learned from college. So shout out to Coach McGraw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jewel, the first thing we always do is we set the scene. We have the guests set the scene, where they're at, how they're doing, what they're doing, all those fun things. And I love your soft turquoise hoodie. It looks very soft. And
thank you. It is very soft. I appreciate it. I'm a big hoodies person. So I have a lot of hoodies, a lot of sweatshirts. That's like my vibe. But I am currently in Seattle. We have started training camp here, so we're revving up, getting ready for season. So the city's super electric. We're excited. We're in our new practice facility, which is amazing. The last time I saw it fully, you know, what the idea was, it was all dirt. So I come back now, it's like the full building.
Everything's together.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. So.
Oh, so you hadn't even seen any of the stages of it?
None. I was just kind of there, saw a couple pictures. It's still like the idea of it, but getting here and having the access code and garage openers like makes it more real, right? It's like unbelievable. So it's been really cool to kind of have practice in there, have our own facility, our own space just for us. So it's kind of like we're walking around. Everyone's like still like kind of like, don't break anything, don't touch anything. Like, I don't know. It's like brand smacking new. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I've seen the video. It is swanky. Sauna?
Yeah.
Steam room? Your own different type of like Starbucks coffee?
Yeah.
The coffee station? That's like, come on.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's almost surreal. Like, every morning it's like something new we find out. We're like still trying to figure out where the trash cans are that they like, hit them. You know, it's like all this stuff that you like don't really think about, but... it's been amazing. So I feel good. We're excited for the season. We have a preseason game in Canada coming up this week. So things are moving. So I'm excited.
This trend you're seeing in women's sports right now, right? With the facilities being owned and made by the ownership. So Kansas City, for example, with NWSL, we've seen it with the Aces in Vegas. And now your ownership coming in, 50,000 square foot facility that, if you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. Seattle Storm Training of Excellence, I think it's called. Basketball Performance. Center for Basketball Performance. It's so cool. What is that like as a player to walk in and go, hell yes, this is ours?
It's literally just that. It's walking in and feeling like all the work you put in, all the years, all the people before you, the pioneers who kind of set the tone. It's just a way to say thank you. It's a way to say we should have this. It shouldn't, at some point, it shouldn't be new. It should just be the standard. And we're definitely pushing forward with that standard. And you're seeing it in all women's sports right now. And so yesterday I was talking to one of our media guys. I'm like, you know, welcome to the show, guys. Like the whole world, welcome. You know, we've been here, welcome. You know, hopefully, you know, get comfy, grab some popcorn and stay tuned because it's just, the shift is, you know, it's definitely moving. I don't see it slowing down anywhere from all aspects, from, you know, high school, college, professionals. It's just the respect that we're getting, the acknowledgement we now have. And so now it's time for us to really put on a show, you know, and we're ready for it. And the sports confidence in women right now is right where it needs to be. So it's a very exciting time for women in sports.
Yeah, I know. I do have a little PTSD, I must admit, because like we had this moment in 99 with our soccer team, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it was across the board like we're seeing it, but we had that same feeling of like, oh yeah. Now they've seen what women's sports should look like. And then it took another 20, 25 years to get there. So I am like, okay, is this for real? Is this happening? Can this please be for real? I think it is for sure, to your point.
Yeah.
And it's not just basketball. It's not just soccer. It's not just tennis. You could go down the list of sports. You're seeing the momentum change and shift. And it's like you get on that train or you are going to be gone.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the cool thing. It's like it's not just one sport. It's a whole women's sports women in coaching, women in management, ownership groups. I mean, Sue just joined our ownership group. It's like you're starting to see it where it's like it's the norm now, which is just a wave. And it's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, that was awesome. That's Susan.
As an athlete where you are very much a face of the WNBA, do you feel a responsibility to Julie's point of we're at a moment right here and we need to keep it going?
For sure. Everyone involved in the sport now, you have a responsibility whether you want to or not. It's just that's where you are in your sport and career. And with social media and all those things like that, like you have responsibility to be yourself. That's the best way I can put it. You don't want to put any added pressure because you don't know how to be anyone else but yourself. So for me, it's like I've got here by doing the things I've been able to do. It's been working pretty good, so I'm gonna keep doing it. I'm not gonna change anything, you know, here and there. Obviously, I think every athlete and every human evolves. So that's a cool thing. It's like you're gonna evolve with the times and change of the game and where we're at and social media, things like that. But overall, you gotta be yourself because that's what people wanna see. You know, what makes them cool? And so the more that you allow yourself to do that, people will see it.
Yeah, it's so cool that you're going to attract a certain maybe following fan base that could be different from Asia Wilson.
For sure.
You might be a little bit more of an under the radar superstar, number one draft pick, two-time WNBA champion. Last year, you broke the single season scoring record.
Woo!
It seems like
that.
You consistently crush, but perhaps there isn't maybe that need or desire for the attention that comes with it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, for sure. I've kind of always been behind the scenes. I never really wanted to be in front of the camera, which is kind of funny. My major at Notre Dame was like film and television. It was all like behind the scenes stuff. It was never like, I don't want to be in front of the camera. Like, I don't want that. And then now I'm playing sports and like, I'm always in front of the camera. So it's like kind of funny how that worked out. But yeah, I don't know. I just always felt like, I think a little bit for me too was, you know, just let your work do everything. I also believe, you know, younger, you're trying to figure out who you are. It's definitely, you kind of go into the league, like you kind of start all over again, right? Like my personality has never been really open until the last couple of years where I feel like I'm really confident in who I am. I'm really confident in my game. The shift, the people who've been in my life have kind of encouraged me to kind of get outside of my bubble a little bit. And people are vulnerable. And I realize that I do have a voice. I realize that people do want to hear me talk. I do have inserts and things like that. So I think just believing a little bit more and allow myself to grow into a place where I felt really comfortable. And now, you know, obviously, you know, I'm on podcasts with you guys. I'm doing other things, like a little bit on social media, a little bit better. But
hello, State Farm commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was crazy. That was awesome. But things like that, I would never said yes to that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, you wouldn't
have? Really?
No way. I would have been like, seriously? No, too nervous, too shy. Like, I just don't want to do it. Like, I'm embarrassed.
Wow, Julie, yeah. You do not come off that way at all. You don't give that vibe at all.
No, I promise you, I would have been just really scared. But right now, where I'm in my life, I'm like, you know what? Like, I feel like I'm ready to show the world who I am. I feel like I'm ready to invite people into my life, see that. I really have some really cool stories. I love storytelling. I love these things. So every day and every year, I feel like I got more confident. Then it allowed me to be more confident on the court as well. So I think that's why we see the shift in how I play last year and the years before.
Wait, let's unpack that a little bit. That's interesting. Because what was it you think that was, you said you had some people who said, come out of your bubble, but what was the big mindset shift in that? Like, what was the primary reason you think? Have you looked back and said, I wonder why I've suddenly had the confidence to do that?
Yeah, you know, I think honestly, you know, for many of us, or, you know, for me, it was like, you know, I want to be like this. You know, I studied Kobe, right? I studied Diana Taurasi. I study, you know, Bruce Lee, all these people that I'm studying all these times. I'm like, I want to be like that. And I realized, like, I'm not them. Like, I could pick certain things about them and their traits and put it into my mix, but I'm not them. So early on, it's like, oh, I'll just try to be like this. Like, there's a certain way to get there. I have to follow all these rules. And then I realized my whole life, it's never been following rules. I kind of followed rules that made sense for me. And I owned it. And so early on, I wasn't owning myself and my story. I was trying to follow the normal path of go to college, go to school, go to this, you work hard. And it's like, that doesn't work for everyone. And so once I kind of figured that out and figured out that I learned a different way, my strategy is a little different, then I just owned that. And my friends were like, just do this. Like, why don't you do this before? I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you tell me to do this before? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. Like, you know, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you're constantly growing up. So I think once I figured out that there's a way that I understand my life and how I do things, I own that. And it took me a while. Obviously, it was like the last 3-4 years. I'm like, okay, this is what it is. But at the same time, now I'm like, hey, this is what it is. I know what it is. I feel it. I know, you know, what it looks like, what it shouldn't look like. The people in my life, the people I don't need in my life. So it's just been a lot of trial and error, which is life, and kind of figuring out.
Do you think, too, part of it might have been, like, you get drafted into this Seattle Storm team that has two iconic, huge players in Sue Bird and Breanna Stewart.
Yeah.
As the stars and legends of the team, like, you're kind of coming in thinking, oh, I've got these two that you hold up on this pedestal, and I've got to play with them, but you're the younger kid of that trio.
Yeah. You know, I was very fortunate to get drafted to Seattle. I was very spoiled. I say that even now with talking to Sue. I'm like, I had the best vets. Like, I came into a situation where I didn't have to be a leader right away. I didn't have to be a vocal point right away. I just had to be myself. And that's why I always rave about Sue, because she never rushed me to be who I am now. She allowed me to go through the process. She allowed me to make mistakes. She allowed me just to be a kid, really. You know, that's what I was coming into the league. It was never that. And then Stewie and I were always friends growing up, and we came together, and we grew up together too in this new world of Seattle basketball, being away from home for the first time, all these things. So it was a great way for me to come into the league, because I had great people around me that allowed us to just be us. There was no real pressure, except for the pressure we put on ourselves, which is normal for an athlete to try to, you know, do their best every day, things like that. But it was, I was just like, I'm just going to ride this wave. You know, I knew what I was doing in the offseason was going to help me. And there's going to be a time maybe that I would be by myself and it actually came to, you know, it actually happened or things like that. And I knew, you know, I had to be prepared for situations. But overall, it was a perfect transition because it was just like our team was all vets. We had great coaching staff. We had great leadership, great fans. So it was a perfect situation for me to allow myself to grow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of safety in that where you could shine. In having both Sue and Brianna on the podcast, something that is so clear with both of them is their work ethic and how they are the best because they work so hard. You had a front row seat to seeing that work. Do you have any stories of something each of them did that you noticed where you thought that, oh, that might be something I should do, or that you saw that that's what maybe separated them from the pack?
Yeah, you know, everyone has their ways and methods. The thing I notice about greatness, whether it's like CEOs, athletes, it's their mindset. It's like training their mind a little bit, right? It's like you could, if your mind's able to do it, then your body will go. It's very hard to get your, if your mind's not there, your body's definitely not doing anything. It's just stationary for sure. So with Sue, like her ability to really lock in, she would come in, and this is like later in her career, mind you, she was like still killing it later in her career, so I don't know what to even say, but later in her career, she would come in before everyone and spend like 40 minutes on doing all her pre-workout stuff, but also just training her mind. Like she was very, like always watching film, always watching with the coaches, always trying to like understand that because she knew like, maybe I'm not as quick as I was before, but I'm coming in early and I'm watching all the film. And then she's sending all those film, all the things she had. She would send it to me and Stewie. She would send it to the team like, hey guys, watch this. And we're like, what are you doing? It's like an off day. What are you doing? It's like way before practice, you know? And it's like, well, her dedication to her mind and studying the game of basketball was why she was so special as a player. She would pick you apart, like pick you apart because she understood tendencies. She understood, you know, the where you need to be, the angles on the floor. It was just always mind-blowing for me. I'm like, how are you seeing this?
Yeah.
Like, well, you watch like hours of film. Like you understand the game in that way. It's not just you going and shooting 5,000 shots. Like you're coming in and watching film way more than anyone else on the team. Mm-hmm. And that separates you. And that gave us our edge during season. And Stewie, you know, Stewie has his ability to really just like be like, F this, we're going to win. Like F this, I'm going to do it. Like that's just like, it's like things could be so wrong, so bad. And then she just turns it on. She goes, F it. And then she just goes on and scores like 50. You're like, perfect. Thank you, Stewie. Like, great. You know, she has this ability to do that. It's really cool to see because sometimes, you know, like you're not shooting the ball well. Things aren't going your way. You know, you're tired, all these things. Like she came back from injury and she still had that mindset of like, I'm still the best, right? I'm F it. I'm going to go and do this. And then, so with her, we always joke around. She has this way. She's like, whatever, shrugs her shoulders. And it's like, oh, once she shrugs her shoulders, you're good. You know, so it's cool to see that. And to see greatness at different levels, different ages, different sports, it's really, really cool.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah.
And then you get to play with them on the Olympic team as well. Yeah. So we'll go into that too. But before we go into that, we have to talk pickleball because I love pickleball. And when I see you crushing it, I'm like, there's hope.
Yes.
I could maybe get out. No, I'm like, no, there's no hope.
There's always hope.
How do you do both? And like you're dabbling on the professional side as well? Do tell.
I love it. I came back 2 years ago from season. I was literally was waiting to go play pickup at Lifetime. And I walked in. I'm like, they changed the courts? They're like, yeah, you know, this side's pickleball now. This side's basketball. It's not two courts anymore. I was like, all right. So I'm waiting to go play. So my friend's like, you want to stay warm? Let's go play pickleball. I was like, dude, I haven't played this since like high school, like in gym class where no one really cared about it, like, you know. Yeah. So we go in and start playing. No joke, we lost to like two grandmas that were not even joking, like 85 and up. Destroyed us. And we were like, bro, like we cannot come back. Like this is embarrassing. Like we're supposed to be these young kids about to go hoop and like do all these things, and these grandmas who haven't moved, they haven't moved, just destroyed us.
Yeah. Angles.
Angles, unbelievable. So after we got destroyed, we're like, okay, we need to start practicing because this can never happen again. And then I started playing all the time. I got connected with a couple people from the APP, Hunter Johnson and Yates Johnson. They were phenomenal guys. They're spectacular athletes as well. They played tennis and then moved over to pickleball. I got close with them. They, you know, we trained together, and then it just kind of grew on me. My first sport was tennis, so I have a tennis background. But it's something I just found so fascinating, so fun. People I've met through pickleball have been amazing. They're so different from the basketball world, which is really cool. It's a way different dynamic.
How so?
Pickleball might be the only sport where a grandma, an eight-year-old, D1 athlete, Olympian, all play together and still have a great time. Like, it's unbelievable, that dynamic.
It's crazy.
There's no way, like, a freshman in high school is going to go against a pro athlete in football and they're going to win. It's just not realistic. Yeah. But in pickleball, it's like, good luck. Like, you better, fingers crossed. So I find it so interesting in that way. And it's really inclusive as well. You know, in basketball, it's like, you got to prove yourself a little bit. You get on the floor. Like, who are you? You know, like, check up, you know? In pickleball is like, come on, you want to play? We need an extra person. So it's like different, like, environment. But I love it. I enjoy it. And we definitely have to play for sure.
I say that all the time. I'm like, look around. You've got the grandparents playing with the grandkids over there. And then you've got the college kids and the high school kids. Like, my kids want to play with me. They're, you know, they're eighth grade and junior in high school.
Yeah.
Like, it's the best.
It's awesome. It's
There's
so inclusive.
There's music playing.
Yeah. It's a
and
different
a lot
environment.
Of people can get through. Like, you know, four on, four off. Like, it's not like tennis. Don't even start with me because they like, we have this thing called the Great Park. It has like 700 tennis courts.
Yeah.
They won't let one court be pickleball. I'm like, listen, there's no one on these tennis courts. So I call it the not so great park. It's just the okay park now.
It's a shift for sure, but it's
it's so fun.
It's so fun. My mom plays, everyone plays. It's awesome.
Okay, how did you become patient with dinking? Because I have a really hard time. I don't get stressed about anything, Jewel. Yeah. I get stressed with that damn dinking game. I'm like, I can't do it.
It's pressure. You know, it's funny. It's I realize the more I try to speed up, the more I lose. And that's more frustrating than me missing a dink. So a lot of times now when I'm dinking, I'm really focusing on breathing.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, I'm like very tense. Yeah, exactly. I'm like very tense. I'm like, I might like pass out because I'm not breathing.
Yes.
So now I'm like focusing.
I'm
like, all right, I need to breathe. And then maybe that slows me down. But every once in a while, I get a little anxious. But it's definitely the breathing that's kind of helped me be more patient in that. And I realized too, if I go too quick, I'm also messing up my partner. And then my partner's mad at me. And I'm like, all right, my bad, dude. Like, I gotta make sure it's not about me. It's not about me. Yeah, patience is key.
Yeah, you learn that quickly when the 85-year-olds are like dinking your ass all over the court.
Oh my gosh.
And then you're like trying to dive for things and hit it harder. And one guy said to me, a little less. Try a little less. And I was like, what? He's like, try less. Just dink it. I was like, okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever. As you're like sweating, drenching in sweat, just like out of breath. And he's like there with his coffee in his hand. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
So awesome that you're crushing it though. God.
I appreciate it. It's been really cool. It takes my mind off basketball. And I realize, you know, when I'm not playing basketball all the time, I do other sports. My body responds better. My brain works better. I grew up playing so many different sports. So like as you get older and you're, you know, locked into one sport, obviously that's like your main thing. That's my main income. That's my livelihood. So you obviously are smart about it. But I realized too, like I grew up playing so many different sports and I want to keep that going as long as I can because my body's just used to that. And so it's been fun.
Does your body like, is it good for cross training? Does your body?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of like, if people think, what, pickleball? I'm like, no, it's actually, it's hard when you're really playing.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of side to side.
Yeah.
My legs have gotten stronger. My coaches from basketball, like, oh, you're able to like stop on a dime and kind of move quicker. I'm like, because of that. So I use it instead of doing like lane slides and like defensive drills. I'm like, I'm just going to play pickleball for an hour.
Yeah.
It's a bit, you know, better. And I'm not thinking that I'm playing defense for a time. But I love it. It's another way to train. And I feel like you always need that because your body, you know, goes through so many different things. So if you train it differently, sometimes it responds better.
How often are you playing?
3 days a week. Yeah, 3 days a week. And then when I'm in off season, I play almost every day. I got a good group of people we play with. Like I said, my mom plays. So my dad hasn't converted over yet. He's a true tennis guy. He's like, I don't know. I don't want to do pickleball yet, but we'll get him. Don't worry. We'll get him.
Shanae gave us a bunch of nice paddles at like one of the ESPNW summits. Like I had this like janky $20 one from Amazon.
Yeah.
And the pro was like, oh my God, you can't play with that. I was like, what's wrong with this? It's fine.
Right.
So she handed me one of them carbon paddles. I have no idea. I think they're like, you know, so expensive. I was like, but now when I walk up with my carbon paddle, people think
everyone's like, she must be good. I want her on my team. Yeah, change it for sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and when you get the shoes too, that's when you get official pickleball shoes.
Listen,
that point when you said like you lost to that older couple, my sister and I, who, you know, I think we can move still pretty good. Yeah. We got spanked by like same thing, like 80-year-olds at my parents' retirement center. And she's like, you need to get some pickle, my sister, you need to get some pickleball shoes. We would have beat them. I'm like, okay, I would get pickleball shoes.
The funny thing is, like, you people get obsessed with pickleball and it's so fun. I love it. Like, it's like, you don't understand the bug until you play. Cause then you're like, okay, I need more of it. And people and too competitive. And yeah, I mean, the paddle's a big factor. Let me tell you, the paddle's a big factor, which is why I reached out, got a paddle deal with Yola. They've been phenomenal with me. Like, I'm like, listen, if I'm gonna go out here and play, I need to like bring it. Cause people are judging me. Cause when people find out, like, you know, I'm a professional athlete, it's like next level when they beat me. So now I gotta really like step it up here, you know? It's like kind of embarrassing, but oh my gosh. So yeah, that was the first call.
That's good.
I have a deep thought about pickleball that I've not shared with anyone.
Let's hear it.
Deep thought with Lynn is it can help with being kind to yourself and kind self-talk, especially with doubles. Because I was thinking about it that pickleball, especially when you're starting out, is a game of mistakes. The way people score is someone makes an error. So it's just error after error after error. And when you're playing with a partner, the last thing you want to do is let down your partner. So on the pickleball court, there's a lot of apologizing, or there's a lot of like, my bad, I'm so sorry, or like, oh, come on now. So what I've tried to do in the pickleball court is to not do that and just sort of accept that the mistakes are going to happen. And that's part of the game and where I'm at. So that's kind of just my deep thought about
deep
pickleball.
Deep thoughts permitted.
Yeah, love that. Because that is so true, though. I mean, it's literally all about mistakes or like wrong. Like, and any encouragement, anytime, anywhere, it's like so much needed. I feel like in general, like we forget to like be kind to ourselves and like let us know that it's okay to have grace. And like that's more, you need grace for that sport in general. But that's more of like a life quality too. It's like be more kind to yourself and have a little more grace for yourself.
Oh, my deep thought is I could have wore my Dink Responsibly t-shirt today. And that would have been amazing.
Oh, that's a miss.
I was like, what kind of, I didn't have my, I couldn't find, I used to have a Seattle Storm jersey. I couldn't find it today. So
I'll
just went
you
with
one.
Black.
No worries. Yeah, no worries.
Boring black long sleeve t-shirt. And I could have worn my Dink Responsibly. Damn it.
Next time, we're running back. We're running back.
I think I saw you playing pickleball with a Dink Responsibly shirt on.
Yeah.
Let's talk Olympics. Yeah. Because those are right around the corner.
Yes.
I mean, you've already won a gold, but USA women are going for their 8th consecutive gold, correct?
Correct.
Y'all haven't lost since 1996. Well,
crazy.
You won in 96. 96 forward, Olympics forward. What's it like to not just be part of that team, but the legacy of that team?
That's it right there. It's understanding the legacy, understanding what it means to be a part of one of the greatest teams ever put together, or teams, countries, however you want to say it. But you definitely feel it when you're around the team. You definitely feel it when you're around the camps. Obviously, when you put the jerseys on, you kind of like, oh my gosh, this is unreal. Like, it never gets old. It never gets redundant. It's just, you know, it's always a special time because every time you're around camp or things like that, it's a different phase of someone's life. It's a different phase of like women's sports. It's a different phase of the shift. And so you feel it and you're just like, this is unbelievable. Like, how am I here? Sometimes you question like, why am I here? This is crazy, you know? But at the same time, you know that it's bigger than just basketball and you're building something and you're also able to pass that thing down to the next generation of athletes.
I was just wondering that if there is some sort of messaging from Asu, Diana, where they each have 5, Diana's going for her 6, or is it unspoken? Is it just everyone sort of knows?
I think it's probably a mix of both. Honestly, you know, I remember my first camp, once I got drafted and we had that, it was all the vets and they make sure that the vets kind of give you like little nuggets of like, hey, like this is what you expect. Like, this is how camp is. Like, we're all together. We have our jersey sucked in. Like, we have the colors, we have this. And you're kind of like, okay, like this is like a group. This is not like all individuals. And obviously like we're not always together. So you come together for these times and you got to learn quick, but there's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of key points that everyone talks about. At the same time, like, you understand you're there for a reason and you want to be there if you didn't have something to bring to the team. And so you kind of realize like, Man, I'm around greatness. They're teaching greatness. So you're going to learn so much in the 4 or 5 days over there in camp, because it's like, how can you not? How can you not learn from Sue? How can you not learn from Sylvia Files? How can you not learn from Maya Moore? Like, they're all right here. You can ask them anything and they give you feedback right away. And they want to, which is really cool too. So it's like a family aspect, and it's a sisterhood. And those moments are like unforgettable.
Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. Can we just say that again? Taurasi's going for her, potentially, I know the roster hasn't been named, potentially her sixth straight Olympic gold medal.
Longevity.
That shit is crazy.
Unreal.
Right?
It's a dream to win one. It's a dream to be part of one. She potentially has six.
It's incredible. All right. I think it's time for the Lynn game, Lynn.
Deal.
I got my pickleball talking.
Yeah.
I'm jacked up. I got to remember to breathe for the game.
Yeah. We can't pass out. Yeah.
Well, this can be a little warm up for when the two of you do meet on the pickleball court, because Jewel, you were about to go head to head with Julie in a game of trivia.
Let's do it.
Here are the rules. There are 5 questions, best of 5 wins. It's all multiple choice. When you think you know the answer, you can chime in at any point. And really the key to this game is the chiming in method. So what have you got for us today?
I mean, it's only right to have paddle and the ball. It's only right to bring this together.
Boom.
That's good. That's good.
Solid.
Mine is not as good. It's a British phone booth.
That's awesome.
Every game has a different theme. The theme of this game is, are you smarter than a little kid?
Oh, God. This is embarrassing.
I Googled trivia for kids and found these questions.
Oh, I'm already nervous.
Good. We haven't done this one before.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a brand new theme.
Yeah, good one. I'm really good at this game, so watch out, Jewel.
Julie, are
I'm
you
really bad.
Are you
I'm
breathing? Really bad. Are you breathing?
This may be the first step to me actually taking on meditation. I might meditate if I could breathe as I'm dinking. That would help my breathing while dinking, because literally I stopped breathing. When you said that, I was like, that is
over me. Here. I know the feeling. I know
I
it.
I say that all the time. I'm like, why am I not breathing? I just get float.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what Julie looks like at the net.
I do. I'm like,
it's nerve-wracking. That's like the most pressure.
And then I pop it up and someone's like, boom!
Yep.
Gone!
Yes.
Ooh.
Exactly.
And that's when you need to be kind to yourself. That's the moment.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah. Why do I keep popping it up?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Okay,
be better.
I'm ready. Every pickleball player out there knows exactly what we're talking about.
They know. They can relate.
They know.
Question 1. What is the world's largest ocean? Is it A, the Pacific, B, the Atlantic, or C, the Arctic? Julie.
Pacific?
Correct.
There you go. I'm like, I think there's a song about that I remember singing back in the day.
Was there?
I don't know.
I just figured I'm close to it. I like it.
Right.
Let's pick that one. Okay. Yay. I am currently smarter than a little kid?
A little kid. You're as smart. As smart.
As smart. Yeah. Let's not get too crazy about it.
Yeah. Right.
Question 2. How many bones does a shark have?
Oh.
Is it A, 0, B, 32, or C, 112?
Oh, this is confusing.
Jewel.
I don't know, 112?
Incorrect.
Knew it.
A shark doesn't have any vertebrae, I believe, right?
Yeah.
But they must have bones. So I'm going with 32.
Incorrect.
Zero bones?
No bones.
Zero. I know. I Googled it a couple of times just to be sure.
Double check.
I double checked my work.
No bones, sharks.
No bones. Trick question.
What is it?
Zero.
Cartilage? What is it?
Yeah.
Structure?
Yeah.
Is it cartilage? Just cartilage?
Did you just pull that out of your pre-med?
My big brain.
Julie was pre-med in college and actually got accepted to Stanford Medical
Can you
School.
Believe it? No one would have trusted me as a doctor. Thank God. Hi. Yeah. I'm Dr. Julia Guglia.
You would have been great. All right. Question three. How many legs does a spider have? Is it A, 4, B, 8, or C, 16? Jewel.
8.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going with.
Let's
I should have got it.
Let's go.
I was going with that one. But then I thought, well, maybe there's different kinds of spiders. All spiders have 8 legs. Some don't have 16. That would be a centipede, maybe. Okay.
Maybe, yeah, centipede, yeah. It was a little quicker.
Not a spider.
Yeah.
Okay, we're 1-1 going into question 4.
Oof.
What shape is a stop sign? Is it A, an octagon, B, a hexagon, Julie?
Right, I'm like counting.
Octagon.
Correct.
Yeah, that's great.
Woo!
I know, I was like.
2-1, baby, let's go. I might go back-to-back wins. Did I win against? No, I got smoked.
Did you?
Jewel, I got smoked by Neil because it wasn't fair. Lynn does job this Neo. To me.
Job
do you know what the topic was? Tamika Catchings. All things Tamika Catchings. Is that fair? See? You know? It's not.
No comment.
I did not even rattle in until the very end. And I didn't even know. I just rattled in to at least be able to say I rattled in once.
Yeah. That's funny. Good job, Neo. Way to show up.
Didn't even have to finish the first question before she didn't finish the full question. She had the answer. That was a rough one for you, Julie. That was a rough go. Okay, so Julie, you have the potential to tie here with question 5. What is the tallest animal in the world? Is it A, a giraffe, B, an elephant, or C, a camel? Jewel.
I'm going to say a giraffe.
That is correct. We are now in a tie break. Which we haven't had in a while.
Oh, wow. I'm nervous.
Tiebreak is rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Oh, that's even more nerve-wracking.
Wait, okay, so do you want it? We haven't done this in a while.
I know, it's been forever.
Do you want to do rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Yes.
Or do you want to do one, yeah?
Shoot. I think the shoot's like, just in case if it glitches on here, and we got the shoot, we're good, you know?
Okay, ready?
Ready.
To do. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No!
Hey! Rock beat scissors. You thought I was... Oh, I went with scissors first, so I was thinking, okay, I gotta do something because she might scissor it.
Your pause, like, that changed it up a little bit. I should have reevaluated that. That's my fault.
Oh, wow.
Julie pauses a lot. I don't think that was fair. Are you allowed to pause once you start the rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
I think it was a Zoom delay. I'm gonna claim Zoom delay.
I'll give it this one.
Thank
you. It's fair.
Because I needed that. Most pressing questions. If, Jewel, pickleball were to become an Olympic sport in 2028, would you try for it?
100%.
Even if it meant over basketball.
Oh, wait. Over basketball? See, I answered too quickly. I should have paused there. That's what I should have paused.
You needed the pause. Yeah.
Wait, first, would you try it? Okay, basketball's out of the question. Would you try it? Yes.
Yeah, yes. If I could try it, yes. I don't know the rules, but I feel like if I could do both, I would try to do both.
Like, why not? Yeah.
Like, that'd be cool. Like, if you have an opportunity, why not?
All right.
Just saying. I got to practice a bit more than 3 times a week, though.
Jewel, my most pressing is, Are you good at building IKEA furniture?
I am. I actually love to build. I like to build.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
I like to build. I do it a lot. I've just renovated my home. All my tools. I want to get to it more. If I had more time, I would have like a whole shed of stuff to build. And yes, so I do.
How did you know that?
Like, okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah,
here's
the thing. Know that.
I did not go on your Instagram page because I've not researched a guest on Instagram for, this is the second season, and it's actually really kind of been an interesting way to go about prepping for an interview. So I just had this thought about Most Pressing that you would be the person I could call and say, I'm building a deck. I have no idea what I'm doing, but are you in? And you would be like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
100%. 100%. Yes.
Good call. Wow.
That's great. Yeah.
So,
call me up.
This could be a thing for you. You can tell people's traits. Listen to Air. She's like, you're the friend people call to move sofas and
to move a couch.
Like, yeah.
She's like, I moved a lot of couches.
She's like, yeah.
And then with Sam Mewis, I said, my most pressing was, do you feel strongly about returning the shopping cart at the grocery store?
She's
no like,
way.
Yes. And I was like, you are the person who would build a deck. And you'd figure it out. You'd be like, there's YouTube.
Yeah. That is awesome. That's like a real skill. That's so funny.
All right. High, low, cheer. This segment is the high of your career, the low of your career, and the cheer is for someone you're grateful for who's helped you along the way.
Of course. The high, for sure, is gold medal. That was nothing to top that. The low is I got injured in 2019, completely destroyed my ankle, had to learn how to walk. It was devastating. Mm. I never cried so much in my life in those weeks. Our team, and we had a vision of what we were trying to do, and it was awful. I've never had that traumatic of injury, how to learn how to just be walk and be normal. That was, it was
that
awful.
That was in between your two
NBA
titles.
Exactly, and it was brutal. And cheer, I would have to say, it was a lot of people, honestly. Honestly, cheer, I would have to say my middle school coach.
Oh.
He's phenomenal. He was the first person who got me into basketball. He's been in every part of my life, always texting me for every single game. Hey. He's
very
clearly
your
excited.
Dog even loves,
he
your
loves
dog
it.
Even loves your middle school teacher.
Exactly.
What's his or her name?
Mr. Reisman, Rich Reisman. He's great, and it's cool about him is he battled cancer twice, has beat it twice, and yet he was still going through chemo, still coming to my games. So he's always kind of been there. So I would say cheer for him because he was the main guy who got me into basketball.
Aww.
Yeah.
I love that. We haven't had like a middle school teacher in a while like that. That's cool.
Cool.
Yay, Mr. Reisman. You
exactly.
Teachers matter.
Yeah.
What a great 45 minutes. Thank you. Well, hour, because you came on early. Thank you.
No, thank you guys. This is awesome. You guys always bring good energy. I'm a huge fan of both of yours, and you guys are just phenomenal. And
thanks, it's so
Jewel.
It's like so reciprocated. You don't even know. Like
yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, no, yeah, I love it.
And I hope I get it. Catch a game at the Olympics and come cheer y'all on and watch
Please.
That legacy continue to grow. Because I'll be there doing the soccer, but
yeah,
we're actually not in Paris in the beginning. You were only in Paris, right?
Yeah, so we have two games in Lille, and then we have the rest, are
do.
In, in Paris,
okay.
Or France, yeah.
All right, well, best of luck there. Have fun.
Thank you. Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Jewel, you
got
to get with the basketball team. Come on now. You got to make that happen. You got so many pals on that
damn
team.
Damn soccer.
I know. We need a jersey swap.
Oh, I like that.
Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know what jersey I would swap because I really don't have a jersey, but I could create a fake jersey, swap it with her in Paris, post it, boom. And more importantly, I hope I can be a hooligan in the front row cheering them on.
Jewel, you totally have a jersey. I have one of them. Remember US Soccer sent you some leftover jerseys from your career?
Oh, yeah. But I think she'd probably want someone a little more current.
I think that's how jersey swaps work. You give her one of your jerseys and you get one of hers. If we really break That's down true. The nitty-gritty of a jersey swap.
I know, but I just took it as she like wanted a current U.S. national team, women's national team jersey. You know, like a Sophia Smith, not a Julie Foudy. I could see her wanting. Okay, speaking of, this is so random.
This just sums up who you are as a human being.
This is so random. Sophia Smith. I just said her name. Okay. I last night had this like stress dream, and I was like saying to my husband this morning, it was so weird because I'm like not stressing about anything, and I don't know where that came from. But I was back playing, and I show up at the locker room. Occasionally I have these I'm playing again dreams. I was back in the locker room. I forgot my jersey. I forgot my shorts, and I forgot my shoes. Everything. My cleats. My boots. So Mia gave me her shorts. Joy Fawcett gave me her extra jersey. And Sophia Smith gave me her boots. Is that so nice?
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Is that not classic? And I was like, and I was telling Ian, and I was like, I don't know how I went from old school to new school, but I love that I did. I was playing with Sophia Smith. There you have it. Okay.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so good. But no,
so random.
Give Jewel one of your jerseys, Jules.
Okay. She's going to be like, wait, I didn't. That's not what I meant, Julie. I hope she doesn't say that to me. I think she'd be very gracious because she is amazing. Okay, takeaways. Lynn, what you got?
I'm going to say you go first.
Oh, really? Okay. One, I had so much fun with that conversation. Like, we both got off the phone. We do this a lot, I know. But, like, it was our season ender. I hadn't known. Usually I know our guests or have interviewed them before. I hadn't known Jewel. And I just was like, oh, my God, what an amazing human. Loved her as a person. So unassuming, very humble. She shows up, you know, as we were saying on the episode, she's the first one on the damn Zoom, pretty much.
Yeah, I went back. I had an email that said she was 20 minutes early. She beat me because I show up 15 minutes early.
Oh, so, and I just love that her telling us, like, basically she's found her stride, like that comfort and authenticity in herself. And it comes, right? As we know, at different phases of your life and different times of your life, and to each their own. But I love that she's found that. So I just really enjoyed that as our little bow on this season.
Mm. Oh, I love how you put that, how she found her stride. And I have my takeaway is along those lines too, more specific to her voice, that she actually says in the conversation, I realize I do have a voice. And that is something that I very much connect to. For anyone who is in the Dope Village as an OG, you know that you've heard me talk more and more each season, and that required me getting out of my comfort zone. Like Jewel, I actually am very comfortable behind the scenes. At the same time, there reached a point where I knew I needed to speak up because that I was actually being true to myself by doing so. You have always been super supportive in me raising my voice. And I think for me, kind of what you were just saying about Jewel and different phases of life, it took me finding a way to do it that felt true to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think too, it speaks to Jewel sharing her story allows us to connect to her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you might take on meditation to help your pickleball game?
No. Do you want me to think about that? No. Hell no. No. I'm not a meditator. I'm never going to be a meditator. Maybe when I'm like 80 and I can't move anymore. I don't need it. I'm good. Or maybe when I'm like, I'm no longer good. I need meditation.
We will unpack that one.
Yeah, we will unpack that another day.
We'll unpack that. Today
but
is not
I
the day.
I am going to get on that storm bandwagon for sure.
Yes, you and me both.
All right, questions permitted.
This comes from Colleen, who is a college professor. She writes,
Is this our Colleen as in Flash, Dr. Hacker?
No, we have another Colleen. Same college spelling, professor. Different pronunciation, college professor. Yes.
Ah, okay.
I just finished reading Billie Jean King's autobiography with a group of students, and we had the most wonderful discussions about her life, her work, and her impact, and I shared the October 2023 episode with them. One student said she had never read an autobiography before and loves BJK's. She asked for a recommendation for her next one, so I'm passing the question along to you. What are your top two or three autobiographies that you might recommend to young women, medium-level sports fans, but high-level fans of equity, social justice, and global issues?
Yes, Colleen.
Thank
yes.
you again for all your efforts to promote women in sports, to share stories, to inspire us, and to make us laugh. Colleen Monroe Layton.
Good one. Good one. What you got, Lynn?
Lauren Fleshman's book, Good for a Girl. Cannot recommend it enough. And I'm now officially putting it out into the universe. We need to get Lauren on the pod.
Yeah. Yeah, we have talked about getting Lauren on the pod quite a bit. I've read it as well. It is great. It is really good. That's a good one. Lauren Fleshman's Good for a Girl. I have two. And you can either go Sporty Spice or you can either go Sporty Spice or Politic Spice. And you know I like to do both.
Yeah.
Okay, so Scout Bassett, who we had on the pod, her Lucky Girl, which is an excellent, excellent autobiography of her journey from an orphanage in China and being found on a street corner in China and taken into this orphanage because she had burnt her leg and lost her leg. And so it's a really good one. And now she's one of our awesome Paralympic athletes and the president of the Women's Sports Foundation.
And we had Scout as a guest last season in season 10.
Yeah, in season 10. And then Madam Secretary, it's on Madeleine Albright. This was actually a Flash, Dr. Hacker, the other Colleen, recommendation. All right. Thank you, Colleen, for that question. And a big thank you, as always, to our presenting sponsor, Ally, for their support, and to Kate Diaz for our theme music, and to our dopest of dopies. We see you and we thank you. Thank you for being so ever present and spreading the love this season. Some great news. We will have bonus episodes coming your way in the summer around the Olympics and reaction to those games. I'm calling those games for NBC, as I said before. So we will also do some bonus episodes reacting to those games. Let's just hope that it's a little better than the World Cup. So, and as always, kids, remember, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
F this, we're gonna win.